Good morning and welcome. Whether you're here in person or else you're here virtually, you are welcome here. You belong here. In this place, we come together to worship God, our Creator, our Savior, and the one who's within us. During those opening songs, let's think about being a child of God. You know, what security? What joy? What freedom? You know, not everybody had an ideal childhood, but we have an ideal Father in God. And all we have to do is receive and believe. And we're part of God's family. It's nothing that we do. We just receive it. He has this offer of eternal life and a sense of belonging for everybody. So let's take him up on that. If you haven't already, let's do so. And if you have taken him up on it, live in it, okay? Live in it and bring it to others. So anyway, welcome this morning. And let's start out with our readings.
Our first reading today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning with the 19th verse. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Our second reading is from the book of Colossians, beginning chapter 3, beginning with 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Here ends the second reading.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel, or good news, is found in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Time for children's church. Any kids want to head on out there? Go learn at their own level. Marcy's going to go, and Nikita, Maya's going to help out. All right. It's so great when the kids can go out and learn at their own level. Last Friday, I was volunteering up at Sacred Journey Academy, a Christian school in Alexandria again. Usually I work with the junior high, usually doing math and science. On Friday, I sat in with the kindergartners. Oh, wow, what a whole different world. And I got to color a picture of a cow. I should have brought it and showed you all. It's on the refrigerator. It just. But to see that joy of a child and the way that they see the world, the way they experience it, it's just really cool. So I'm just glad that the kids here can go learn at that level. All right, Lord, we thank you that we are gathered here today in your name and more importantly in your presence, God, to worship you, to learn from you, to praise you. So may your words just come alive in a big way today, Lord, and change us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty, the subject of identity. So you think of the question, who are you? Well, for me, a song comes to mind from a long time ago, you know. It's going to start playing in my mind now, all right. The who are you? But it is an important question in life. Who are we? We've all been given a life by God. Our parents got together, our life started, and here we are today. Who are we, though? And what are we going to do with this life? We've been given an incredible gift. Now, when you think about who you are, you could look at your driver's license. Of course, it has a name that your parents gave you. And that's who you are, but does that describe you? No, it doesn't. It's just sort of a name that someone's applied to you. We have other ways to describe ourselves. When you're meeting someone for the first time, a common question, oh, so what do you do for a living, okay? So you find out the person's a nurse or a mechanic or a teacher or who knows what. Again, that tells us a little bit more about the person, but does it fully describe them? No. We all have other titles as well. Maybe you're a father, or a grandmother, or you're an aunt, you're a gardener, maybe you're a hunter, all kinds of things. That gives us a little more information. But again, it does not fully describe a person. And even to describe yourself, Gwen brought that up in the Bible study Tuesday morning. She said, well, if you could describe yourself in one word, what would it be? That's hard to narrow down to one word, isn't it? Because there's so many things that we are. There's so many facets to this thing. And so I'm trying to think of who I am in one word. I came up with the word curious is what came to mind for me, because I'm just curious about stuff. That's why I love teaching science and fixing things. I'm just, what makes this work? If I take this apart, or, you know, what are these, this element made up of, or these atoms and things like that. I'm just curious about stuff. And I could describe it myself as curious, but yeah, no, there is one word which should describe me: Christian. That should be our primary identity. We all have many, many identities, all right? There's many things, many roles we play. But first and foremost, the capital letter should be Christian. That should determine how we live our lives. That should determine who we are, what we do, and why we do it. Why we are kind to others. It's not to earn anything with them. We are kind to others. We love because He first loved us. That's the source right there. And as followers of Christ, as Christians, that is our primary identity. When people see us, they see our actions, they see what we do, they hear what we say, it should all be Christ-centered, about giving to others, because He first gave to us. So I guess when someone asks about me, that's what I should say. Why did I think of curious instead of Christian? Or why do I introduce myself as a teacher or a pastor instead of a Christian? Good questions. Again, that should be our primary identity. You think in school, too, the junior high hallways right outside my chem lab there, and identity is a big thing at that age. It's huge. Trying to figure out who they are. Trying to figure out where they fit in. Wondering why they don't fit in. Self-image is a big, big, big thing for them. We can look back at it now and just sort of smile and laugh. But when you're in the midst of it, like they are, it's huge. And does our enemy use that as a tool and a weapon against them? Absolutely. You don't have an identity? Here, I'll give you one. Or here, try this, right? Yeah, the enemy's using that constantly. You want to fit in? Well, here's this group over here. They'll take anybody. Just, you know, fit in with them for a while. Yeah. So we have to be aware of this and how real it is for these kids here. Well, identity was a big deal back in the time of Paul as well, and he writes in Galatians here, I love this, starting with verse 26, who are you? You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Sons and daughters, I would suggest there, okay? You are all sons and daughters of God. How? Through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's how we get this, huh? That's how we become a child of God. That's how we get adopted into God's family, is through faith, right? We are saved by grace through faith. That none may boast, right? It's not through what we do. It's what God has done and our receiving, what He holds out, this free offer. So we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's where you fit in. That's who you are. For all you are baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. Alrighty. Well, if you clothe yourself with Christ, I like that too, because clothing is something that people see on the outside. We don't see the heart like God does, but we see the outside. And clothing says certain things about a person. It might tell us about their career, about how much money they have, or things like that, or the message on their t-shirt. But we are here clothed with Christ. That is how others should see us when they look at us, that we are clothed with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. Equality. Incredible equality with God. Nobody's better, nobody's worse, nobody's higher, nobody's lower. In God's eyes, we're all what, Cole? Equal. We're all equal in His eyes. You can't earn favor with God. You can't make him love you anymore. You can't make him love you any less. His love for you is perfect. Now, of course, you can accept that love, believe in him, and live for him, or else we can reject it too. We are given free will. But he sees us all the same. That equality is a great thing there. That we are all equal in that. And that was a big deal back then. The contrast and the words that Paul uses here. You're neither Jew nor Greek. Okay, there is a big disparity there. The Jews, you know, hey, we're the chosen people. We're not going to associate with these Gentiles, right? Paul's blowing that out of the water, saying, hey, no, you're all equal now. As these congregations are coming together in the time of Paul, it's a mixture of Jews and Gentiles that are coming to believe. And all of a sudden, they're equal. Wow. They had a hard time handling it sometimes. Paul's letter to the Romans is full of that, trying to guide them through this process of forming this body of Christ with such diverse backgrounds. And Jews and Gentiles, that was a big deal. Alrighty, neither slave nor free. Again, a huge disparity between the two. He's selecting terms here, which are way far apart. To be a slave versus being free. But in Christ, no. Again, we're all equal. Doesn't matter. If you're a millionaire, doesn't matter if you're poor, doesn't matter if you're a slave, if you're free, if you're a male, if you're a female, if you're a Jew or a Gentile, we're all equal before him. And that's God's kingdom. What a beautiful thing. So let us never think we're better than anybody else. And there, let us never think we're worse than anybody else. We're all the same in God's eyes. You are all one in Christ Jesus, as he writes it right there, right? We're all one. We're all the same. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We have been welcomed in to the family. And, what a wonderful thing. Many times when Jill and I take in kids, they haven't felt a part of a family. They haven't grown up with a solid one. But all of a sudden, hey, it doesn't matter. You're part of our family now. You belong. You belong. You have all the rights. You have all the privileges. You also have all the chores and responsibilities. But yes, you belong. So if you ever feel like you don't belong, if you're ever feeling lonely, left out, just remember what God says about you. What he says about your identity. Who you are, that you are a part of his family if you want to be. All you have to do is receive and believe. That's it. Where we can have all the rights and responsibilities, eternal life is a pretty big selling point there, but there's more to it even in this world. But also, you know, the chores and things that come along with it. But yeah, it's a beautiful thing that we are totally welcomed. It doesn't matter who you are. It does not matter what you've done. You have a chance at a new life with him, and he's going to take you in. He's going to put those arms around you and give you this big old hug and say, welcome, my child. You are welcome here and welcome home. Welcome home to a home which is perfect. He's prepared a place for each of us. Unfortunately, some of those places remain unoccupied. He's prepared a place for everybody. Some will not choose him. But for those that do, who are brothers and sisters in Christ and are heirs to eternal life and children of God, he has prepared the ultimate place for us that we get to experience someday. And it's going to be great. So let us look forward to that as well. That we have this sense of belonging. We do fit in with God. Ephesians also backs us up when Paul's writing to a separate group of people here in Ephesus. He's talking about identity here as well. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's house. You're a part of the family, and you're equal with everybody else. No longer a foreigner, no longer an alien. People that awkwardly don't fit in, right? They're in this new culture, this new land, and things like that. No, you're no longer a foreigner. You're now one of us, he's saying. You are now one of us. You're equal with us and with all of the other Jews and Gentiles, males and females, slaves, free, it doesn't matter. Fellow citizens, to have citizenship, okay? To wander around without an identity and without a country is one thing, but to have citizenship, and in this time and place, that's a big deal. Paul was a Roman citizen. He tells us that in the Bible. And with that, there were definitely certain rights that he had. So to become a citizen as well, that word would have perked people's ears up. citizens with God's people and members of God's house, members of his household. Okay, again, we are members of many different clubs, organizations, things like that, but if you're a member of his household, first and foremost, right, a Christian, everything else will follow from that. And this household is described then. A house has to be built on something. We, of course, want to build on solid ground. We don't want to build on sand. We know about the parables there. The wise man built his house upon a rock. And here Paul sort of echoes that. Members of God's household built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. We today gathered here are built on that. The foundation of apostles and prophets. Okay, where did all this come from, this whole Bible here? Apostles and prophets, God speaking through people, right? And we are built on this foundation right here. This is it. All right? With Christ as the cornerstone. So, obviously here at Shalom, we got any questions? We look right here. God has laid it out right there, and we follow it to the best of our ability. As all Christians should. As all who claim the title of Christians should. Follow back to the basics that are laid out here. In black and white. And sometimes in the red letters too, if you got that version. But those are really important, okay, what Jesus says. But yeah, this is it. Built on the foundation, the apostles, the prophets. And then when you're building a foundation, you have to have something to base it on, right? Some sort of reference point. And that's where Jesus comes in. He was the chief cornerstone right there. And everything is built relative to that. The walls go out that way and that way from that cornerstone. Everything is referenced to it. It is the one that cannot be moved. So Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together. And that's beautiful too. We are joined together. We each have our own unique identity. But we are one in Christ. We are the body of Christ. Together, all of us. Each with different talents, each with different gifts, each with different contributions. But together, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. So the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. We are all temples of the Holy Spirit. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 2. I mean, I love this way this just all ties together. All right, to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Again, yes, God's Spirit lives within us, going to guide us, going to direct us, going to convict us when necessary. And yes, we need it at times. But his Spirit there to guide us. So we have this identity, not only individually, but collectively as the body of Christ. And here's where we have to stand together as one. We have to stand firm. And the world that's going crazy in many ways. It's getting crazy out there. Things are fluctuating, things are changing, but guess what? We do not change. Our God does not change. We stand on him, we stand with him. We stand for him. He stands within us and guides and directs us. So let us be resolute in that and standing firm on him. Now, reaching out to others in love, absolutely. There's a whole lot of others out there that don't believe. And we extend that hand. We welcome them. We long to take them in, to have them alongside us, equal with us as a brother and a sister in Christ. So let us never neglect to bring that message as well, to give people that offer, that option. God will give it through us or also give it directly to them. But everybody has the option of becoming a member of God's family. Does he have a chair for everybody at the table? He does. Are all those chairs occupied right now? No. And some, unfortunately, will remain unoccupied. Some are going to reject the message. They're going to reject the offer. They're going to reject God for various reasons. But with free will, that's their option. But who in their right mind would? If there's this wonderful feast that's been laid out, this wonderful place that's been prepared for you, this place at this table with your name tag right there, and a feast that we can't imagine, and an eternity with God. How cool is that? So let us bring that to others, to invite them to come and see, to come and experience, to come and hear, to come and connect with God, and to be a part of the body of Christ. We still have some open chairs here yet too, and we got room to add on out back here and alongside. All right? Yeah. There's still a lot of openings, and let us offer ourselves up so that God can speak through us to people. To bring that offer of eternal life and happiness in this life and joy and peace and the confidence and the hope and everything else that we have as the body of Christ, as children of God. To be a kid again would be pretty cool. I mean, there's, like I say, I was like a big kindergartner myself on Friday. That was just a lot of fun. And just that joy and enthusiasm that they have. But we ought to be that way still when it comes to being God's kids. To have that joy and enthusiasm, but also that assurance and confidence that no matter if your childhood is bad or something like that, here's an opportunity where God's going to take you by the hand. He's going to lead you. And you've got a Father who will not fail you. He's there with you. He's there for you. Alrighty. So John in the gospel then also speaks to this identity, to the sense of belonging that we heard about today. Verse 12, yet to all who received him and to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become a child of God or to become children of God. All right. So to receive and believe, just God's holding out this offer, receive it and believe it. And then you have that right to become a child of God. A right. What is a right? It's something that's given to you, right? We have the Bill of Rights in our Constitution. We have the right to assemble here today. It's guaranteed in the Constitution. We have the right to share our faith with others. We have the right to bear arms. We have the right to vote. We have all these rights which are wonderful. It's nothing compared to God's kingdom and all the rights there. And being a child of God, imagine the rights you have with that, right? It's more than just life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which are great as well. But we have these rights. Okay, inalienable rights, you could say, as well. Okay. So he gave the right to become children of God. A child, all your needs are provided for, aren't they? If you grow up in a good family, all your needs are provided for. You're going to have shelter, you're going to have food, you're going to have all that. And as a child of God, yes, he provides for us as well. Alrighty. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will. So we're not talking about biological children here, okay? We're talking spiritual. But born of God. So this is just a foreshadowing of what comes two chapters later with Nicodemus, where he must be born again in the Spirit, to have that Spirit awakened within you. It's where you just, yeah, it becomes who you are. It becomes what you do. That identity, it's who I am. I'm a Christian. And I'm going to love others. I'm going to be kind to others. And I can't help but to do so because that's who I am. It's what I do. It's my nature, my very nature. Not that I have really been born with, but it's been given to me by God when I'm born again. And everything we do flows from it. It's the source of what we do. It's our cornerstone. It's our identity. It's all that and more. And it's a permanent identity. No one can take that away from you. You also can't be a victim of identity theft. I mean, with this identity. I mean, when God gives it to you, you fully receive it and live in it. Yeah, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's what you do. You're a follower of Jesus, doing good for others. Your primary identity, among all the other things that you are, yes, you're going to have many identities in this life, but let the primary identity for each of us be that of Christian. To be kind to others, to love others, to help others, just as Jesus did and still does. Because it's who we are and what we do. Amen.